What's good? What's good? I'm back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Conversist Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Today, I'm going to react to a video of Vince Staples and Joe Budden's, where Vince Staples says something that I said well over a year ago, that streaming is over, that streaming is pretty much dead. Before we get into that, though, I want to give you a word from Dizzle Premium Luxury Liqueur.
That Dizzle ain't no joke, got me addicted, ain't no coke. Let's just have a toast. Anybody want some smoke? Cause it's up, Bobby Dizzle thug. Catch me sipping with my double cup. Can't just have one, you gotta double up. You pour it, gotta watch it bubble up. Another one. Gonna have you coming back for more. But go get it while it's hot. For it be sold out in your stores. That Dizzle.
I really mean it. Dizzle is the best. It's the best alcohol and liquor I've ever tasted in my life. Everything else to me has hoodwinked and bamboozled me my whole life. And that's coming from a person whose rap name is Paul Masson. I can't even drink Paul Masson no more because it would just be a travesty for me to drink Paul Masson when I could drink a premium luxury liqueur like Dizzle. Dizzle's a mix with agave tequila, cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. Just throw your Dizzle on ice and it's nice. If you want to order your very own bottle or bottles of Dizzle brand premium luxury liqueur, go to dizzlebrand.com. As you see, do you Dizzle, order at dizzlebrand.com. Once you hit the homepage, you'll see the order online link that'll take you to Milio's Beverage. Must be 21 and over. Shipping and handling is included. Also, you can go to our locations. If you live in California, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Arkansas, there's actual store locations on our locations. If you just scroll below, find your state, and you can find locations within your state to order Dizzle. And the Dizzle brand merch is on dizzlebrand.com as well on a merchandise store. It's also available at Etsy.com, E-T-S-Y.com. Just search for Dizzle brand or go to Etsy.com/shop/Dizzle brand. Also, the Dizzle brand gummies are now available at dizzlenova.com. Repeat, the new Dizzle brand gummies are now available at dizzlenova.com. Link will be in the description. And I recommend the strawberries are my favorite. Okay, let's get into this. Basically, Vince Staples reiterating something I said well over a year ago, I think. And I'm going to take it a little further after we hear what Vince Staples has to say.
Over
streaming, bro. So
DIY.
So on a recent episode of the Joe Budden Podcast, rapper Vince Staples was invited on to talk about not only the music that he's been working on.
And before you finish, shout out to this Curtis King cat, man. I just started seeing his podcast, really like his episodes. He has a lot of these music topics that I need to definitely react to, because I've been doing a lot of sports stuff, a lot of world events, politics, social issues and things of that nature, but I gotta ramp up my music
on, but some of his experiences within the music industry, also his pivot to acting and getting into movies. During this conversation, actually at the very beginning of this conversation, they start to casually talk about the current music industry as it stands.
Once, I'll never do it again.
Respect us.
Word. Nah,
like you'll be SOB. Respectful of a, such a performance staple.
Nah, I like SOBs.
Pun intended.
If I gotta go back to SOBs, then I need to go get a job.
So, just to give it context, because the conversation kind of faded its way in after the intro, Vince Staples was talking to Ish about if he's going to be performing at SOBs. SOBs is a legendary venue in New York. Not the biggest venue, but it's still legendary. And his response was, I'm not playing that little ass venue.
What's how many seats in that venue?
Like 300? Yeah.
Come on,
something
bro.
Like something like. Come you on. Could charge, you could raise the ticket prices.
I'm cool.
Make it exclusive. Or you could just give back to the fans.
Mm-hmm. You could do
super
a pop
intimate.
Up. Yo, Vince Day, now that I blew up, now that I'm hitting my
mean. I'll never give back to the fans.
Not an accurate commercial.
He just said, I'll never give back to the fans. Why is that, Vince?
Yeah. Normally, when I hear a rapper say, I would never give back to the fans, I typically don't like that kind of rhetoric. But when he's about to explain it, I totally get it. Totally understand it.
Why should you give back? You selling a product, bro. Why are we the only niggas that's like got to give our shit away for free? Everybody else get to sell stuff, whatever. Nobody give back to the fans. KB Holmes ain't giving back to the fans. Coca-Cola ain't giving back to the fans. But the niggas got to give back to the fans. They can pay for it. They don't pay for the music already.
Ooh, chill. Hey, chill.
And, you know, he's not talking about black people in just general. He's just talking about the music. You know what I'm saying? And definitely rap. Now, because this is the thing. 80% of the music being distributed every day, which is 100,000 songs, is rap music. It made a great point. You know, we're selling a product. We're selling a product. Why do I have to give back? We're selling a product. That's the thing. We probably need to stop calling fans and fanatics and fans. We probably just need to refer to them as consumers. And that's why I always say fan base. I always like to say fan base because it's more of a consumer base. It, you know.
Somebody's gonna have to tell the truth, and I'm gonna tell it.
Now, I don't doubt for a second that Vince Staples respects his fans. I don't doubt for a second that he understands the contribution that they have made to changing his life. But he's saying something that whether or not you want to take it serious or not, he makes a really valid point. I think it is our responsibility as owners of any business or any product to make sure our customers are the top priority, that we're taking care of them along the way. But he's saying, isn't it ironic that we're already giving our music practically away for free? Well, the majority, when you think about streaming and the low.
And that's the problem. That's one of the biggest problems right there. You can get a free Spotify account. You can go on YouTube and stream it for free. Anything that distributes through Spotify and Apple is going to YouTube. And you can go to the topic links and stream that for free. All you got to have is a Gmail account. And I don't even know if you need a Gmail necessarily. You don't have to necessarily be logged in and have an account to stream the music, the topic links. SoundCloud's free. Audio Mac's free. Spotify, you can create free accounts all day on Spotify and just stream unlimited music. Yeah, it'll run ads, you know, but it's still, that's the thing. If it's free for the consumer to access, it's free.
Payout numbers that they give. Why are we expected to give out even more free shit? Why is it that music is already so devalued based upon the structure they've set up? They still saying, hey man, you should give back.
We gotta give them some more free shit.
You're talking about being transactional. I'm talking about being transformational.
So you're going to transform an industry that's dying.
No.
You're going to try to transform the dying industry by giving away free shit.
Yay.
Bam. You're going to transform a dying industry by giving away more free shit. You know, I don't listen to Vince Staples' music, but every time I hear this kid talk, and he's younger than me, so that's why I call him a kid. I hear this young man talk. He always truly amazes me what he says. It's like he totally understands the music business in a way that most people just don't get it. They can't comprehend it. You know, he always amazes me what he says for me. I guess because he's so young.
Yo, Vince, he said, you're going to try to transform a dying industry by giving away more free shit.
Yes. Get more appreciation.
What's the dying industry?
Music.
Yeah, music. So with it.
It's over.
Streaming, bro. So with it. But I fuck with it. You know what I mean? It's cool. I get it. But like, it's over with it.
See?
To me, at least.
All right, hold on. I have to start. So start.
No fight.
Let me chime in again. I've said it's been over too. What's the biggest problem with streaming? All right, there's two problems with streaming. That's really, really the biggest problems with streaming. Let's just go with Spotify, for example, because Apple Music is actually picking up more unsigned and independent artists than Spotify on their playlist. Even though Apple's playlists aren't as big enough, you can get on the hit list and whatnot. And you can get people to work it to Apple playlist and get added. Now, everybody on Spotify has to go through the editorial process. Before the editorial process came in, you could actually directly email Spotify curators and build relationships with them. Soon as that process happened, Spotify playlisters, curators, a lot of them shut down their emails. They were done with the relationships, and now it's solely off of them listening to the music. But the problem is with that is most of the time they're not just gonna pick it up just because of the music. Like, unless the song is just really, really great and the curator's like, I got to, okay, they'll add it to a playlist. But when they add it to a playlist, part of the problem is they're adding to their smallest playlist, and it doesn't get enough traction from those to get added to bigger playlists typically. Another problem is that Spotify really doesn't want to break unsigned and independent artists unless they're signed under Spotify, because they could if they wanted to. They got the power, like FM radio, to break whatever they want to break. But they choose not to, because they just go with what's popular, like FM radio, you know? So you got the fact that Spotify is not going to add you to none of their super big playlists, even if they do add you to a playlist. And they're only going to add you but maybe a week or so, and then you're going to be off. You know, you don't even get the whole 30-day treatment usually. So they don't really want to break artists. Spotify don't really want to break artists. They don't break artists. And when they do give them playlist ads, it'd be like the smallest. It'd be like a playlist that says it has 1 million followers, but they only get like 20,000 listeners. So there's that. And then there's no engagement on Spotify. You can't engage. This is the problem with streaming. Streaming is not allowing you to engage with fans. And if they were, they would add comments. All you got to do is add comments. People would be commenting on every song. And you'd be able to reply to the comments, but you can't do that. You can't do that. All they could do is like the song and save it, or like your profile. They can't. There's no direct messaging. You know, we need to make it where people can message people directly on Spotify, and you need to make comments. And even if you don't want to do the direct messaging, just add comments and be able to allow people to reply to the comments, and that's direct messaging right there. You know, but there's no direct messaging on these streaming platforms, and that's the problem. That's why YouTube is still the number one platform to break artists, in my opinion, and in my experience. And just seeing the landscape of content creators and podcasters, and YouTube is the spot. TikTok is a really good spot to break songs as well. They broke, you know, dozens and dozens of artists since TikTok came out. And yeah, you know, I'm going to react to a video where, you know, TikTok is only breaking a certain kind of artist or making artists change how they make music. Like, they'll make songs that are just for TikTok and whatnot. And TikTok being so short form, people don't know nothing but a small snippet of the song when they go and perform these songs. But there's no engagement allowed on streaming platforms. So you need to bring in comments and bring in direct messaging or just comments. And streaming could go to a different realm. But you can't really interact with fans on streaming. And that's the biggest problem as far as, you know, unsigned and independent artists go. Because if Spotify doesn't want to break artists on their playlist, that's fine. Just let us get comments. Let people be able to comment on the songs, comment on the playlist, and let us be able to reply to those comments, and we'll be good to go. We won't need you to add us to all the big playlists. We'll figure out a way. But Spotify is like FM radio. They don't want to break artists, because if they wanted to, they could. They got the power to. And they don't want to allow engagement, you know, with the fans directly on streaming platforms, which is another problem. You know what I'm saying? Because I guess they're afraid that if they do that, artists are going to try to get fans to exclusive spots, which to me, I think that's where the music business is going. Exclusivity, where you just like Ryan Leslie, you just sell it on your website, or they can only stream it on your website and things of that nature, and you get advertisers and sponsors.
Right back, just casual drop. It's over. Vince Staples is a younger artist who is still making his way in his rounds within the industry. For him to say that and just Parks ain't fighting back, Joe Budden is like, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Even though I want to get to that, I mean, I agree. I think that's at the common root of our relationship is that we both think this shit is over with. Only the fans don't know.
They know.
They don't care.
They don't know because
they've made it so convenient for them that they don't care.
They don't know.
Yes, but it's not their business to know that.
They do know. They just don't care.
I'm telling you, they don't care.
It could be they both. Care.
You think a fan care if the musician is getting paid?
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that.
Oh.
If music starts coming to a cease.
Well, people are always going to make music.
If it becomes a regularity that your favorite artist only drops every 5 years, then I would care as a fan.
Those of you that have been watching the video clips that we've been reacting to, all of it seems like it's connected by a singular thread. Because of the way that music pays out, because of the quantity of music that gets pushed out, and because of the quality dropping off in the process, because of even shows, concerts, where people are not getting the experience they feel like this dollar amount should pay for, people are starting to change in general. They're spending habits when it comes to rap music. He's giving two different perspectives of not just the fans, but also giving the perspective of someone who's an artist trying to generate income off of this said model. When you have an artist that has overhead that does not have a stoppage, whether or not you're releasing music or not,
it's not sustainable.
Music producers.
Yo, and you know what? Before I'm going to let this ad run, because I do that with all the content creators. If I react to their content, I'll let the ad run. And I agree with what he just said. Like, another big problem is there's a large increase in quantity and a large decrease in quality. So quantity is up here and quality is down here. Quality is just, it's so low right now. You know, there's no real great music, no classic music, timeless music, feel good music. And there's this quantity of a bunch of just every beat sounding the same, every flow sounding the same, all the lyrics sounding the same over and over again in rap music and across the board. There's like a lot of industries got a lot of copycats, and a lot of industries ain't pumping out a lot of great music. It's not even just rap music. Besides Silk Sonic, I can't think of no music recently that just had me feeling really, really great and really, really good, except like Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars.
Rappers and singers, are you looking to get some constructive feedback on your newest music? Joining Critique My Beats is super easy. All you got to do is reserve a pass at critiquemybeats.com. Click on book a slot and choose if you want to get one beat review, two beat reviews on our live stream every Monday. Best beat and best song of the night is going to win a cash prize. Join us at critiquemybeats.com.
Nobody has favorite artists no more, though. It's like a playlist structure. And like you fans of people's lifestyles, it's like a separation point. You're not a fan of nobody really because they make music for the most part.
We don't really identify with the artist no more. Like I'd be like, who the fuck off that? Ice would be like, you know who he is. Ice will play three or four songs. I'd be like, oh, that's who made that? Mm. Whereas before when we was coming up, we identified with an artist. We liked the artist. Now we just like a song.
There used to be a time when, let's say the 50 Cent era, like the prime of his career, when he spoke about the abundance of music that he had in the vaults before we got Get Rich or Die Trying. It was something that was a rarity. We had never heard about that, at least from a rap standpoint, that be said in a public sense. Artists were taking their time to make music, or taking more time to make music, but to have such an abundance of music, 200, 300 plus songs for a 15-track album, was unheard of. Now, over the years, that has become more of the norm, especially with mainstream artists. You hear about all the time, yeah, I recorded like 400, 500 songs before I actually put this project together. And because of that, it gives them not only a, in their opinion, more solid project, but it also gives them loose singles that they can release any given point in time. Just
let me chime in right there where you said it gives them a more solid project. Yeah, when you're making 400 and 500 trash songs, I guess you gotta make that many to find the 15 best out of your 400 and 500 trash songs. You know, that's why I like Mobb Deep Infamous is my favorite album of all time. Just how well put together it is. And like when you get to the album time, like you gotta be very patient. You gotta be very meticulous. You gotta put together the album very, very well. The order of the songs needs to be just right. That's why Kendrick Lamar, I think, is considered the GOAT of this last decade, because both of his albums, his solo albums that he dropped, solo LPs, are considered great albums. I think Cole has a lot of good albums, and one great album would probably be the Forest Hills, which I live literally 60 seconds away from Forest Hills right now, walking distance. Also, Drake put out a lot of good albums, but I think like his very first album was like his best. You know, I don't know. Neither one of them got these two great back-to-back albums like Kendrick did. And Kendrick took a lot more time. Kendrick's dropped less albums over the years than all three of them and been top three. Cole's dropped the second most amount, least amount of music, and been probably considered number three. I would say it's been Kendrick. If you're going off of record sales, it's Drake, Kendrick, then Cole. If we're going off of just GOAT status, it's Kendrick, Drake, then Cole, you know. But Drake has made way more music than all of them, pumped out way more albums, way more singles. I think he literally has 200 singles in the top 100, you know. So let's keep moving on.
In the matter of staying relevant. Now, when one artist does that, it has one effect. When multiple artists do that, everybody is not able to work in a system like that, where you can put so much quantity out and still keep a bar or set a bar and reach it of quality, all the music is affected at that point in time.
Yeah, but I get what he's saying. I agree with him. Like, terrible artists shouldn't be doing this. But at the same time, you would almost argue that they have to, because they're making so many terrible songs. They got to make at least 400 to find the 10 or 15 best that are actually, because it doesn't really matter, even if they go and just make 10 or 15 songs for an album, the album's not going to be all that anyways. It's just going to, when you make an album of 10 or 15 trap beats, back to back to back to back to back, I mean, what are we talking about here? You're not talking about high quality music.
I think this is just some of the domino effects we're seeing.
The 360 is number 100 on the list of things wrong with the music industry infrastructure.
Now, I fast forwarded this a little bit more, but they were initially talking about 360 deals as being one of the things wrong and one of the reasons why it's so challenging for some artists to build sustainable income. Joe Budden is letting them know, like, I don't really see that as the number one issue. There's some pros and cons that can be argued on both sides, especially if you're on the receiving end of it and you're making the investment for these artists that are not promised to bring you your money back.
But I'm not all the way mad at the 360.
What's number one, though?
Niggas got mad at
me. The way they pay out.
That's number one.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Would have to be. Yes.
Let's go, Paul.
That changes generational wealth.
So you don't want to talk about like the cultural implications on the shit? Because generational wealth is decent if you got, you know, it's easy if you got decent spending habits or like an appreciation for home ownership, an appreciation for education, you know what I mean? Median home income, where I just moved from, where the average home cost is $3 million, the median home income is like 120. That ain't even like a 30-minute set for me.
Let me chime in. I love what he just said. Gosh, this dude, this young man is so, he's so smart. Because, you know, I had an interview recently with shouts out to Mutate God, and he kind of changed my perception on this about the streaming payouts, because the music is already free anyways. So if we're giving the music free to the consumers anyways, and then some are paying, there is a lot that are paying for premium accounts. I have a premium account as well. But there's a lot with free accounts too. So if we're already giving people the access, like that's the thing. If nobody wants to have a premium account, they can just get a free account and just have ads in between their music. You know, so the music, the access to the music is already free. So how can you expect such higher payouts? And so what he's saying is their spending habits, like these dudes in the chains, flying private, living in these mansions. I mean, Lil Pump, why'd he have to sell his mansion? Yeah, he made a profit, but he had to sell it because he had money issues, because shows ain't coming in as much as he is. He's not selling out as much. Nobody checking for the music as much. Yeah, like we were talking about, you know, nowadays the music is the last thing you need to be selling as an artist. You need to sell the potato chips, the cereal, the t-shirts, the hats, the hoodies, everything else, the gummies, the cannabis, the vapes, everything else with your name on it. And also, oh yeah, by the way, we also got the music. Because the music is already free. It's already been devalued. When you the access to it is free, why would I pay an arm, a leg, a kidney, and a liver for it? Even for the shows, when the music is already free.
I'm talking about now. We're not talking about 30 years ago, as we said, because it was much different.
My problem is you're talking about now, and I say generational wealth, which is we need to talk about the future. That's cool that you can do that when you walk on a stage and perform. I'm talking about what happens for your grand and great grandkids when you cannot perform.
Of course, but what I'm saying is based on setting something up.
Knowledge.
You can't really set something up based on how we treat people.
The knowledge is next on my is right under my list. Fix the money and then we'll work on getting the knowledge.
What I'm saying is culturally, we got so many bad stigmas that just fuck us. You feel me? Like, all I'm saying, bro, is if a rapper show with a fan base, they start a home that costs $700,000, your career might be over. If a rapper showed a nigga that Toyota Corolla, your career might be over.
Vince makes a really great point in that these mainstream rappers are put on a mainstream stage because there's money behind making them look like money. Even when it ain't a whole lot of money, when that is the facade that is being marketed, when you're on posters, billboards, when you're on bus stops, everything is just looking like you got money. You're even seen in commercials. The assumption is that you got it. I don't agree that the record labels are not part of the blame for that. When they sign an artist up and they know the content that they're putting out there, at some level they got to take responsibility for whatever consequences or results happens as a result of them signing these artists. I also think that when you're pushing out a certain image of an artist that is not accurate with that artist, you're also putting a target on their back. There's a lot of artists that fall off not because they can't make fire songs. They've been doing this their whole life. There's a lot of artists that can't make it because they got no more money to run through. And on top of that, they've already accumulated enough debt just from the predatory loan. Just to make it look like it's some shit, they had to go through a whole lot of money. I think it's important that both sides at some point take blame if this is indeed the beginning of the end of the industry.
Why y'all always say y'all been
You know, let me chime in what he just said about the labels. Somebody on Math Hoffa's podcast, shout out to Math Hoffa's podcast. Said something about the labels don't want to make music, they want to make money. So knowing that they don't consciously care about what the music sounds like, how accountable can we hold them? And this is the thing. We're in a time now where labels don't know how to break artists, first of all, because radio and street teams are dead for breaking artists. So they don't know how, there's no one way to break an artist no more. Back in the days, it was radio street team. Now you got so many different avenues. You damn near got to do them all before you break the artist. It's like, you can't just break an artist on one platform because it might necessarily, that platform might not be the one. Like you might not be able to break an artist on YouTube, but you can break them on TikTok or maybe on Triller and not TikTok, you know, vice versa. There's no one way to do this. So labels don't know how to break artists. And artists are breaking artists. Artists and influencers are breaking artists nowadays. And labels are signing artists that already broke themselves. So that's where the process. So when you sign an artist that's already broke himself, and you're basically signing him because he's already making a certain amount of money, why the hell would you care what the music sounds like? I mean, why? Like, let's think about this. If I'm a record label and I know I'm only signing established artists, why the fuck would I care what the music sounds like if I'm only signing established artists? You should only care about the music sounds like when you're not assigning, when you're not signing an established artist. When the artist has no fan base and he's not established, like a J. Cole, that's when you care about the music sounds like. You see, because people got this shit so confused. You know, if you're an artist that already has fan base, you know, like Lil Pump, I know for a fact from a friend from Fayetteville, North Carolina, that Lil Pump was making $15,000 a show before he signed with a major label. I'm a major label and I'm going to sign Lil Pump because he's making $15,000 a show and I think I can make that bigger and we can get that to $40,000, $50,000 a show and I get it. Make a ton of money off of the 360 deal for Lil Pump or whatever. Why would I care about what the music sounds like? If I'm already trying to buy into something that's already established, why would I care what it sounds like? You're only buying into it something that's established because you think that you could just make it bigger than it already is. You think about adding your resources will make it bigger, and sometimes it does, and a lot of times it won't, because labels don't care about the music. We don't have no Loud Records no more, no Ruckus Records. We don't have these labels with a lot of artists signed to them. Def Jam don't care about the music no more. At one point they did. I would argue Cash Money and No Limit never cared about the music. Yeah, like, even Jimmy Iovine, when he would sign an artist, like, you know, Dr. Dre brings in Eminem. He's not changing nothing about Eminem. He's telling him to be who the hell he was. You know, and Eminem out the gate was a package deal. This is the thing people don't realize about Eminem. If Eminem doesn't drop the music, the video the way he is, Eminem is never as big as he is. That's why Joyner Lucas is one of my favorites, because it's a package deal. It's the music video plus the song. Like, you can't totally appreciate Eminem's music without the music, early music videos. Nowadays, it's not so much, because he's changed his whole rhyme pattern, the production, his content isn't so out there like it used to be. You know, hi kids, you like violence? You want to see me stick 9-inch nails between my eyelids? He's not on that no more. But that was a package deal. Without that music video, that song is not big as it is. It's not. It's a whole deal. You know what I'm saying? And even the music business nowadays is like a package deal. It's not, nobody's selling off of the music alone. It's all about the image as well, the popularity, the social media, the reality, the antics, you know, the relationships, Blueface and his relationships, whatever, you know. That's what's selling the music. It's not the music selling the music. So like I said, when labels are just signing established brands, why the fuck would they care about what the music sounds like? But if you're signing an artist who's not established, you got to build them up and try to break them from ground up. Yeah, you should care about what the music sounds like. But labels don't know how to break artists no more. So there's that problem.
I thought that when it was niggas like you and him telling y'all the better way to do it, y'all didn't listen. Niggas just wanted to go the other route.
True.
There's niggas, there was,
hold on, let me finish.
There was older niggas preaching the same shit on the corner, 125th. There was other niggas in hip hop talking about generational wealth and what to do, and we chose not to listen because it was fly to follow. That was a choice that we made.
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing with you.
People make that choice. I hate the puppet master shit. I tell somebody the other way,
and I still make the dumb choice.
I agree with that. It's more infuriating today because maybe at that point, my dad didn't see a viable path.
Ding, 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 ding. That's the big part. That's the big issue of what Joe Budden's was missing. It's more egregious today. Just the level of rappers blowing money on bullshit and nonsense is so out there nowadays, you know. And what Vince Staples is talking about is the KRS-One mindset or the PMD. Like, this was always known that Parrish actually, people always said Parrish had more money than Eric because Eric was buying mansions and Mercedes, and Parrish is still driving the same beat up car. You got Eric Sermon in one hotel room, you know, with a bunch of bitches. You got PMD in another room with Dos FX and Redman and Keith Murray and everybody else. And they all eating, you know, sandwiches and shit like that. Like rappers are not humble nowadays. None of them. Just a very small few, like Kendrick, Cole riding a bike. Kendrick and Cole, that's really it. In the mainstream, Kendrick and Cole. Cole riding a bike in New York and Kendrick, you know, being Kendrick.
To get to millions of dollars.
Sure.
Today is just a little more frustrating because it's like, yo, we have examples of us everywhere getting to it.
This portion right here, the first thought that came to mind was, some of the commentary, sometimes my reaction videos get. I don't be in there arguing with nobody. I let y'all get that off. There is a segment of my viewers who feel like I'm leaning in too hard on the artists, or that people who are making this kind of content is trying to take them out of position and therefore out of a job that feeds other people in their family, themselves, and employs other people. That is not the goal at all. Not at all with this content.
You know what? And as a music promoter, see, he makes beats, I think, or he's a beat maker, if I'm not mistaken. I'm a music promoter. As a music promoter, yes, I'm hard on artists. Why am I hard on artists and musicians? Because their perception of the business is totally wrong. When they get into this business, 97% of them don't know anything about this business. So everything that comes out of their mouth is an invalid excuse. Yes, an invalid excuse, because they don't, like, artists think you're supposed to just make music and that's it. They don't understand the breaking music part. They know nothing about the breaking music part. And I ain't saying there's none that don't know, because artists are breaking themselves. But very, very, very few people that get in this business know anything about this business. That's no excuse. That's no excuse. You know, you sign a bad contract because you know nothing about this business. You know, you're getting screwed by a label because you know nothing about this business. You know, some people are so quick to sign any deal just to get out of poverty, just to get rich fast. Because that's the thing, you know. Most people that are trying to make it in the music business don't really want to go through the real process, the length of the process, the full process. They think there's some way that you could just skip out steps in the process and just get to the record deal. You know, what if I do this? What if I just buy some followers, or I just buy some plays? Okay. You still need fan base. You still need consumer base. And I pretty much heard enough on this one. I like what Vince Staples is saying. And I've been saying streaming isn't going to last too long, unless it makes some changes. If they don't bring in engagement into streaming, and they just need to bring in comments, let people comment on songs, comment on playlists, comment on artists. Yeah, just to comment on the songs and comment on playlists, or comment on not even playlists. Just let people be able to comment on songs, and let anybody be able to reply to those comments on Spotify. And I think Spotify will be something even better. That, you know, it could be something amazing. But right now, it's not. It's no different than FM radio. Spotify is no different than FM radio. That's facts. They're not. They don't want to break artists. They're not looking to break artists. They have the power to break artists with all the playlists they have. They could take any artist that has good, average or better than average music, probably, and add them to all the biggest playlists for 3 or 4 months and probably break them. They could, especially with all this below average music that's being broken into the music business nowadays. So, yeah, I definitely like Vince Staples, and I need to start listening to more of his music. I definitely need to start listening to more of his music. Every time I listen to his interviews, I'm always impressed with what he has to say, man. I mean, the kid is just amazingly smart. He totally understands life in general. And I got to say this before I go. Vince Staples is definitely not woke. He's definitely not woke by, because he's not allowing them to make any excuses for the mistakes that these rappers are making with their careers and whatnot. So, yeah. Once again, I want to thank you for tuning in on Paul Pickett Podcast. And once again, I'm out.